And on the line now I have William Hedeman. Hello, William, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Thanks okay, we've on. Talked before, but give us a bit of background to Dublin Bay Concern.
Right, well, there are several groups. I'm not Dublin Bay Concern is one of the groups that's concerned about what's happening to Dublin Bay. I don't know, a lot of your listeners may not be familiar with this proposed oil drill. I don't represent any particular group. I'm a freelance journalist and I also, you know, involved in campaigning, and that I'm a campaigning journalist, but I have a website, irishoilandgas.com. But it's very interesting what's being proposed, and there's growing opposition to it. Providence Resources, which is a company owned by and controlled by Tony O'Reilly and family, who own a lot of our media in Ireland, as people will be aware, has been given permission. They were given permission just in October. They were given a foreshore license to drill for oil just 4 miles or 6 kilometres off the coast of Dublin Bay. Now, it's right beside Dawkey Island, and some of the media coverage and the folks has tended to sort of portray it as an issue for Dawkey, and even to the extent of, I think, sort of trying to isolate opposition and make it look as though this is only something that concerns wealthy people who are concerned about the price of their property or so on. But actually, this is something that affects all of Dublin Bay, and in fact, there's going to be a public meeting. One of the other groups, Save Our Seafront, is organising a public meeting this coming Thursday in Clonturf.
Okay.
There have been meetings from Greystones all the way up to Ringsend, the meeting, I just, while I mentioned, in case I forget, I'll give people the details because I know this is obviously relevant to Niamh's catchment area. St Anthony's Town Hall in Clonturf at 8:15 p.m. That's this coming Thursday. The 6th of December.
Mm-hmm.
About the plan to drill for oil. Say in most other countries in Europe, drilling is never allowed this close to the shore. It's very, very close to the shore. And according to documents submitted by the company, by Providence Resources, as part of their application last year to the Department of the Environment, and this is a document that's available on the Department of the Environment website, it's the oil spill contingency plan. It sets out what the company is supposed to do in the case of an oil spill. But in a worst-case scenario, if there's an oil spill off Dawkey Island, if there's a spill at the rig, which is beside Dawkey Island, oil could reach the shore of Dublin Bay in as little as 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So within hours, literally, there could be oil all around Dublin Bay. So, you know, the economic threats are clear. And in fact, just in today's newspapers, I see it in the Irish Independent and the Irish Times anyway, I've just seen that online, that there are new special areas of conservation being proposed. And in fact, one of them, they're to protect species. This is something that the European Union, which the European Union has stronger environmental regulations than we do here in Ireland. And Ireland is often, behind and is often gets in trouble with the European Union over its environmental record. Ireland is being obliged to introduce more SACs. These are special areas of conservation, and one of them to protect wildlife and the environment along the coast of Dublin Bay actually now may have an impact on the plans, but we don't know what that's going to be yet, but people might be interested to see that. But to protect porpoises and other sea life and the coral and reefs. But So the environmental threats are very obvious and real, but the question is, what will the benefits be that people might benefit?
I was just thinking there, sorry for interrupting you, William, but I was just thinking there at the extent that a lot of people reading, you were saying the concerns that they have, or maybe their apathy to it, to the extent maybe they want to see what happens and oil equals wealth comes into their heads. So is there any positivity about it at all?
Well,
If it's done properly,
yeah, that's a good point. That's an assumption that people tend to make, and I've heard sometimes I've heard commercial radio stations introduce the topic of oil drills off Ireland using the Dallas theme tune and the general implication that we're all going to be rich.
That's obvious, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, the reality is that under Ireland's licensing terms, which were drawn up 20, 25 years ago by Ray Burke and Bertie Ahern, Ireland. Any oil or gas that's found in Irish territory is transferred in full, like full ownership and control is transferred to the company that finds it, and they're not obliged to supply the Irish market. They're not obliged to bring the oil or gas ashore in Ireland or hire Irish workers based in Ireland or use Irish equipment or support services. And if we take this Dublin Bay oil drill as an example, I was researching this last year. And I spoke to one of the directors of Providence and was asking him what going to, what would they do with the oil if they found it off Ducky Island? And he said that they wouldn't be bringing piping to shore. They would load it into ships, like into oil tankers, at the rig, at sea, and then would ship it directly to a refinery, and that refinery would probably be in England or Holland. So, in fact, there would be no, and he admitted there would be no economic activity created in Dublin. There would be no oil, probably no oil supply to the Irish market, and there'd be no jobs or infrastructure created. So, in fact, they're very, you know, in economic terms, the project might as well be off the coast of Malaysia or somewhere else.
Okay, so there'd be no employment, there'd be no infrastructure development or economic activity. No. So there's no real positive element. I mean, it wouldn't even touch Irish shores as such.
No, not necessarily. Okay. It might go to Cork and be brought ashore and refined at Cork, but he said most probably it wouldn't. It would depend on the kind of oil. Now, there is only the only guaranteed economic benefit is the tax take, and Ireland is very unusual in only having one means of extracting revenue. Most countries use, you know, the state gets involved and this shared production. There are royalties, there are all kinds of other means of getting revenue out of it. Mm-hmm. Ireland only relies on tax, and it's a very, very, very low tax rate. We're unique in the world. 25% of the profits, when the company has declared its profits from the sale of our oil, which could be sold overseas, they declare their profits, and 25% of those profits are paid back to the Irish state in tax. The problem is that the company is allowed, again, under these unusual licensing terms that we have, is allowed to avail of very liberal, very generous tax write-offs before declaring profits. So, you know, they can write off, for example, Providence in this case, if they find oil off Ducky, they will be able to write off the costs of all exploration that they have undertaken anywhere in Irish waters, so not just around Dublin for this project, any other exploration, any unsuccessful wells they've drilled all around the coast in the mm-hmm. previous 25 years, they can write off all those costs, as well as costs, of course, of costs of equipment and personnel they've sourced in Scotland and Holland and elsewhere, and all costs related to it, 100% cost tax write-off. And commentators and economists have predicted in some ways that, you know, the tax take would be extremely... The profits will actually be very low, and the tax take as a percentage of the value of the oil they're taking away will be extremely low. I actually, people can read about this on my website, I discovered the existence of a study carried out for Shell in relation to the very controversial mm-hmm. Corrib gas project, and it was a study by consultants for Shell. It was a private study in 2003. It projected how much tax the Corrib project would pay over its lifetime. And the projection was a third of €1 billion. That's just €340 million, which is a very small amount mm-hmm. in relation to what the field is worth. The field is worth in the region, so even at that time, was worth at least €5 billion. I calculated that represented roughly 7% mm-hmm. of the value of the oil, the gas.
Initially, when it started, William, what's the legal aspect of it? I mean, the company finds the oil, yeah. and they have to submit to get permission for it. But can the government not say, well, okay, if there's oil there, we go look for ourselves? Or did they not just bother? And will we have to do the monitoring? There's a lot of stuff going on that, a lot of people don't know about. But how, on a legal basis, could we have done that?
Well, for the state, yeah, I mean, the state could explore for itself. The argument is that would be very expensive, and I agree, it would be a huge investment. It would be prohibitively expensive for the state mm-hmm. to invest in, you know, in searching for oil. It costs a huge amount of money, and that's why they're getting private companies to do it. But the problem is that they're in the process ceding, you know, they're handing over full control and ownership of the oil. They've gone much too far. I don't, you know, for example, the state could give out licenses, exploration licenses, on the following basis. They could say, you know, to the companies, if you find, here's a license, you can explore for oil or gas in our territory, but since this oil or gas belongs to Irish people in the first place under our constitution, mm-hmm. we, the state, are then going to reserve the right. If and when you find oil or gas, the state will step in at that point and take a share. And once that's set out in the terms of the license, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't happen. There's no reason... You know, that would be perfectly reasonable. The state could then get involved in production, could take a bigger share, would have more control over, you know, where people were being hired, where the equipment was being sourced, all the ancillary support services, the infrastructure, and also where the oil and gas was going to be supplied. But also, it's important because it would allow something that isn't the case under our current terms, which is skilling up, that people mm-hmm. working, Irish-based workers working for the state, working for a state-owned company, could learn the skills and the expertise, and Ireland could build up its own expertise if they were working side by side with the private oil companies. That's how Statoil was created. That's the Norwegian state oil company, and it was created over the past mm-hmm. 50 years. On that basis, yeah. and that's why Norway has such great expertise, and they really know how to run their oil industry.
Okay, now there's two things going on to the extent of the ecology involved in it, and the safety for our shores, of course.
Yes.
But then the financial part of it, which the government is handing over, which all the different groups that's having their meetings and have the campaign going on, have they separated them in that way, or are they just concerned with the bay and saying we don't want it at all?
Well, no, I mean, the campaigns, I'm pleased to see that the various groups that are campaigning against this Dublin Bay oil drill have focused, as well as the environmental threat and, you know, the industrialisation of the Dublin coastline as a threat to Dublin's greatest amenity mm-hmm. in its bay, as well as that they are focusing very much on the lack of economic benefits, because that is very important in how, you know, how the media and politicians and the public generally, you know, react to or processes, you know, information about something like this. They say, well, okay, there might be a slight risk of a spill, but, you know, if there are benefits to Ireland and we need money in these difficult times, then we should maybe allow it. But, you know, the fact is that the economic benefits are very, very, very small.
That's not very optimistic. There might be a spill. That's, I mean, well, it's strange if they say that, isn't it?
No. Well, I know, yeah. I mean, well, there is a threat. I mean, you know...
Oh, of course. We've seen what's happened around the world in different places. Look what happened to the Americans. But as well as that, it's the main access to our port.
Yes. Dublin Bay, yeah.
You know, all ships coming in and out, and if there was any sort of, if there was any sort of a spill and they had to isolate the area, I'm sort of being dramatic now, but if they had to, it would affect their economy in that way too, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I don't know what, I mean, I suppose, if there was an oil spill, I imagine the access to the port might be closed off, but I think that if there was an oil spill or an accident, that might be the least of our worries, because oil actually washing up on from Clontarf down to Greystones and everywhere in between, would be very serious for all kinds of reasons, you know, for the ecology and the environment, but also for tourism and Ireland's image as a place to visit.
Sometimes when you're dramatic, like some of the things I've said, it's the only thing that maybe will wake them up a little bit, because if it hits them in the pocket rather than the ecology part of it, then they might wake up and think about it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the groups of, you know, people that's been very active in opposing this is fishermen particularly around the Dunleary area. But it's, you know, it's potentially they're very concerned. And one of the speakers on Thursday, this Thursday evening in St. Anthony's Town Hall at 8:15, is going to be one of the fishermen from the Dunleary area. And, you know, obviously it affects fishermen all up and down the Dublin Wicklow coast. But even if they don't find oil, even at the moment, the seismic testing that they're doing, the company has boats going down, sending out sound waves. And then there's various kind of seismic activity looking for where the oil might be and that kind of thing. That has a very serious impact on fish life and can kill fish and send them away. It's also dangerous for dolphins and porpoises. And in fact, it's the porpoises in the bay that are the reason for this new special area of conservation that's being proposed.
Has this company, Providence Resources, been anywhere else doing this?
They've been drilling around the Irish coast. They have they found oil. They announced just earlier this year that they found oil off the coast of Cork. It's a bit further away. It's about 50 kilometres off the coast of Cork. That's the Barry Row oil field. There was a fair bit of coverage of that in the news in mm-hmm. the spring and summer. And that's quite a significant find that they made there. And again, that oil. I've asked them where the oil is going to go. They haven't confirmed yet whether they're going to bring it ashore at Cork or bring it, you know, or just export our oil directly from the field overseas.
See, that's the problem. When you say it's mentioned in the papers, there's always a big splash about oil and everyone gets excited, but then you don't hear anything about it. You don't read the fine details exactly.
As
you said, you can't get any answers. So there's nothing to be printed. And the same thing could happen here as well. Until something goes wrong,
I think coverage of oil and gas exploration has tended to be quite poor in Ireland. There's not very much sort of knowledge or understanding generally among politicians and the media, and there isn't that much interest, and people don't tend to look into it very much. They tend to just sort of say, oh, people are protesting, they're concerned about the environment, but the companies pointed to all the economic benefits. And I've seen even recently, I've seen even in the past few weeks, references in articles to the Dublin Bay oil drill, saying the company pointed to all the employment and economic benefits, but they've actually admitted when they're tackled on it by someone who knows what they're talking about, they admit that there won't be any employment created onshore in Ireland. There'll be no economic spin-offs of that type.
Okay, now you have a website yourself, William. Give us that because people can read up on that get a good background.
It's irishoilandgas.com. So that's www. And it's all one word, irishoilandgas.com. And the events, I mentioned the one in Clontarf, that's St Anthony's Town Hall in Clontarf, this Thursday, and also on Saturday week, that's the 15th of December. It's in the RDS over in Balls Bridge, a big public meeting in the concert hall. It's a huge venue, which Protect Our Coast, which is kind of umbrella group for campaigns against this oil drill. That's at noon on Saturday the 15th of December, a public meeting, and in that evening actually they're organising a concert to help raise funds campaign, also in the RDS concert hall. Liam O'Mainley is from formerly of Hot House Flowers, is one of the singers and others to be announced.
So the campaign is gathering quite a momentum now.
I think it is. It was a bit slow because in fact part of one aspect of the way that Ireland's licensing terms are very skewed in favour of oil companies is the public consultation or lack of it. There's been almost no public consultation. And when Providence applied for this licence to drill beside Dalkey Island back in January of this year, the public, it was sort of sprung on people by surprise. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the only way that people found out about it was the... There was very little fanfare. They lodged their application with the Department of the Environment, and two notices were put up in two Garda stations near it, one in Dalkey and one, the two nearest to where the drill was going to be taking place. Just small notices put up at the Garda station, and people only found out about it by chance because a Garda out there rang someone up and said, you might want to come and take a look at this.
Wow. That's
and that was absolutely extraordinary. And the public had 21 working days, so basically 1 month to lodge submissions and objections. And the campaign was gathered together very quickly back in January, February, and many submissions were lodged and petitions. But the government didn't hold any further public consultation. Well, I mean, you can't really call that, but that's what the government calls public consultation, allowing people to make submissions within 21 working days. But there's no public hearing, which really there should be, and there would be in any in countries like Norway, which do these things properly.
Which makes it suspicious, really, immediately, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I mean, people say, you know, it's similar to how Ireland, you know, regulated its banks and developers and that in the past decade, and we saw the results of that. Sort of a light regulation. It's an approach which says, oh look, these people can create wealth. Let's just leave them to it and not regulate them too tightly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people should be very worried about Dublin Bay.
Certainly should. A lot of the things that have gone before. And it would always is a great concerted group as well when anything is happening around the area because people guard it with great vigour. It's a wonderful, wonderful asset to the country. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I mean the whole of the country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and people can look up Irish Oil and Gas. That's William Hedeman there. Thank you very much, and I hope to be talking to you again. And the next time I'm talking, maybe that there'll be something more positive coming over with the campaign.
Hopefully. Okay, great talking to you.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye. And that's William Hedeman there. And you can look up Irish Oil and Gas and find out all about that to the background. But those two meetings, one of them is taking place on Thursday in St. Anthony's Hall in Clontarf around 8:15, and then Saturday week in the RDS at noon, and I'll give all that information out in the course of the programme.